You may have heard it said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. It's another way of saying that strong leaders emerge when a situation becomes difficult. According to our guest today, the quality of a person's character, for better or worse, is often revealed in times of heightened experiences.
If you don't have the right leadership with the right values and the right behaviors that have the grit and determination and also the compassion and caring to take care of your employees and grow and develop those, you're not going to get through those really challenging, difficult, painful times as a startup. And you're certainly not going to get to a large, growing global company that's been recognized as a great place to work, because difficult times expose people. And a lot of people have heard that. Challenging times expose the character of individuals. Can you grind through these challenging times? Well, on the opposite, really good times and successful times equally expose people.
That's Jim Cavanaugh, the CEO and co-founder of Worldwide Technology, an organization that provides technology solutions and services globally. How did a company based out of St. Louis become a global tech leader? On this episode of Business X Factors, we're going to look at how the early days of Worldwide Technology influenced the company's principles moving forward, including how they have created a culture of leadership. I'm Jeremy Bergeron, Head of Strategy at Mission.org. Welcome to Business X Factors. Each week, we'll take a look at the secret sauce that takes companies to the highest levels of success and then unpack how they got there. We'll explore how these organizations are even run, and then what's so special about the people, the culture, and the processes that make it all happen. This podcast is produced with love from the team at Mission.org. Mission.org is the number one podcast network for executives. Get a front row seat to exclusive interviews with executives from some of the biggest brands in the world, as well as emerging unicorns changing business as we know it. Hear the interviews, watch the interviews, learn from their stories, level up your own success. With podcasts about the future of e-commerce and marketing, to the latest in IT and technology, to inspiring stories of SMBs and beyond, Mission.org has a show for every type of executive. Go to mission.org/podcasts. That's mission.org/podcasts. Leaders aren't just born, they're also developed. Jim's parents taught him a blend of confidence and humility that encouraged him to pursue his dreams, and it's fair to suggest set him on the path to becoming a leader.
My parents would say, you can do whatever you want to do. You're no better than anybody else, but you're also as good as anybody else. So don't ever let anybody think they're going to push you around. There's a certain foundation of values that I got from my parents that are still embedded in me to this day. And one of them is go for whatever you can go for.
A go-get-it attitude is an important attribute to cultivate in a developing leader. For example, when Jim had the opportunity for a scholarship to play college soccer, his father encouraged him to pursue it.
Go for it. Go get it. I don't have any money for you, but man, I'm behind you. And it was great. Man, I got all the love and support, but it's time for me to go make it happen. Go figure out what I need to do.
After his amateur soccer experience was over, which included playing at St. Louis University and a stint on the U.S. Olympic team, Jim played professional soccer. Eventually, like most professional athletes, he had to make a pivotal decision as to how the next stage of his career would take shape.
Even though I was in soccer and I had a business marketing degree, I wanted to get into technology. And I wanted to figure out a way when I was debating on whether I continue to play professional soccer, and it just the league and everything just was not in a great spot back then. Okay, if I'm going to now look at getting a job and a career, where is it? And I was like, it's got to be technology. And the reason at a high level was just, I felt this is an industry that's going to continue to evolve and create opportunity. So I figured I got to figure out a way. And even being in St. Louis, where there weren't a lot of technology jobs, how can I get into this space? And that's what I tried to do. And I got connected with a chip company, a chip distributor, more at the board level and different electronic components. And that gave me some insight and education to more of the system side and hardware and software. The other factor was I was not afraid to take chances. I wanted to go out and I felt that I was willing to put the time and effort in, even though I didn't have the experience of running a business, so to really take that chance and try to learn quickly.
This brings us to Jim's journey at the beginning of Worldwide Technology. But before going further into that story, let's dig into Jim's parallel business experience in sports ownership. There are lessons in Jim's sports ownership path that are revealing as to his character and business sense that can also provide insight into Worldwide Technology's success.
As you continue to grow and build relationships in the community, things present themselves to you. And as people get to know you and trust you, opportunities present themselves. So there's some opportunities that present themselves. There's some opportunities that you take and you create and you develop.
Jim didn't start off as an owner of professional sports teams right away. As he just described it, relationships and opportunities developed for him in his community over time. Initially, he was simply asked to help out at a local soccer club.
Part of it through the process was taking on as kind of CEO and chairman of this local soccer club, which has 5,000 kids in it. My CFO, Tom Strunk, who happened to go to St. Louis University with me and he played soccer, actually worked with me arm in arm, side by side to really get that back on track. And we were asked to come in and maybe donate some money and do some things. And I was like, well, I'm happy to donate money, but I'm not into donating money that I think could potentially go down a black hole and it's not being used effectively. And they're like, well, would you be willing to donate money, come in and get involved and run it? And I said, maybe, but be careful what you ask for, because if I get involved, there may be decisions that not everybody's happy with based on my expectations of the commitment and the rigor and discipline that's going to need to go into running this club and aligning to the mission that we had was to be the best club that we can perform, but one that is focused on the development of the players on and off the field prior to even winning.
The first objective for Jim was accomplishing the task of ensuring the club was on a pathway to success. In doing so, Jim was presented with more opportunities for him and for the community.
So our number one focus was player development. That kind of iterated where then there was an organization, USL, that's under the MLS, Major League Soccer, that came to us and said, Jim, we like all the things that you guys are doing. Normally, you're going to them. They came to us and said, we would like you to start a USL team here. Well, that really wasn't part of my charter, but the other executives within a club were like, Jim, this would be fantastic for the community. This would be great for soccer. And I'm like, okay. So basically collaborated and we made that decision. From that decision, then other opportunities created where Paul Ezerly and Dave Peacock on MLS at our first run at MLS came to me because I think things that I've done with USL and the local community clubs. So we did that. And lo and behold, we're building a stadium downtown with the Taylor family and we'll be playing our first game in Major League Soccer here March of next year.
Now, Jim is a co-founder and owner of that MLS team, St. Louis City. And he is also the owner and investor in the St. Louis Blues, the NHL club that recently won the Stanley Cup in 2019. It's clear that Jim has been a very successful leader, but he attributes much of his success in sports and business to those who supported him, a variety of teammates.
I did not get here by myself. There are so many friends that one I've had for a long time, and family members that I've always had to support. I look at whether I was playing soccer, made the Olympic team, and sometimes you have siblings that they may be a little envious or different things. The biggest supporters I had by far were my brother and my sister. And I look at where I am at Worldwide here. Joe Koenig, who was my college roommate, he's the president of Worldwide. He came on about 3 years into Worldwide. Tom Strunk, who's the chief financial officer, was a player at St. Louis University. He was a freshman when I was a senior. These are individuals along with the executive team that most of the tenure is 20 plus years. They are absolutely critical to the success of Worldwide, and I could not be more thankful.
Worldwide Technology has had great success due to their essential values, including teamwork that Jim identifies. But let's go back to the company's beginning stages, because this success was not a foregone conclusion. In fact, Jim reveals that the company was in a very precarious position early on.
Take from where we are now all the way back to the beginning of Worldwide, some of those things early on, just the grit and determination and passion and teamwork. In the very early stages, we had another owner of the business that really did not espouse and represent those things. He talked a good game, but didn't demonstrate that type, along with a level of, I would say, integrity. And so based on that, that individual just happened to be my boss and the larger owner of the business that I chose to figure out a way to fire him.
Yes, you heard that correctly. Early on in the development of Worldwide Technology, Jim had to find a way to fire his boss.
You look at one of the eight key business concepts, you got to face the brutal facts of reality. It wasn't just going to get better. I couldn't put my head in the sand and think, okay, things are going to magically get better. And then it's one thing acknowledging that brutal fact of the reality you're dealing with. But then do you have the courage and the backbone to have the conversations that are required and make the decisions that are needed? And, oh, by the way, potentially put yourself at risk that there is a better chance I was going to lose my job and my position as an owner of the business than there was I'm going to remove this owner that has a larger percentage.
After the break, find out how Jim turned Worldwide Technology around with a great teammate and a vision for success. Want to improve your business development efforts? Ensure your ideal client prospects listen to your customer stories, all while meeting some of the most interesting people in your industry. Sponsor a Mission podcast to learn more about how your company can be positioned as the thought leader in your category. Visit us at mission.org/about. Before the break, we learned that Jim Cavanaugh, CEO and co-founder of Worldwide Technology, fired his boss in the early stages of the company. From Jim's perspective, this majority owner was not the right leader for the job. Thankfully, there was another teammate at the company who Jim trusted.
So even though Dave was worth another company, consulting company that he had at the time, I feel like I can trust Dave, but this guy's got to go and I got to figure it out.
Long story short, Jim found a way to fire one of the original founders of the company, leaving he and Dave Stewart to run the company. Together with their team, they have grown the company to around 8,000 employees worldwide. The early days at Worldwide Technology and the difficult decisions that had to be made have definitely informed Jim's approach to leadership.
Sometimes these are the risks that you need to take when you truly believe that is the right thing to do. And so I've tried to take these lessons learned through my life and really watching and observing other what I think are great leaders and really sound business concepts and values and incorporate them into what we're doing. And that's where to this day, I can reflect back on those values, those behaviors, and the concepts that resonate today as much as they did back then.
A lot of executives point to having great people and culture as a proven recipe for their company's success. Jim agrees, but reminds us that quality people and culture are the very things that can see a business through tough times and eventually lead to great success.
There's things that we have done, I would say, innovatively and creatively and built models and methodologies. But the number one factor for Worldwide is our culture and our people, period. It could be an overused statement for some people, but it's just not. It is what made Worldwide who we are today, and it is what allowed Worldwide to get through some really tough, challenging times in the early years that came shining through when we just needed to roll up our sleeves and show an incredible amount of grit and determination to grind through some times that really appeared to be really almost so bleak that we're not going to survive. At the same time, where we are today, being almost a $16 billion company and projected to be greater than that this year, it's still all about our people and our culture.
A compelling aspect of Worldwide Technology is that Jim and the company have codified their views on effective leadership into what they call their integrated management and leadership curriculum.
Our integrated management and leadership curriculum, we just finished up our event this year, and it was a three-day event that we dedicate to our managers and leaders, all of our managers and leaders, so approximately 1,500 managers and leaders throughout the company. The majority of the event is run and taught by the management and leadership of Worldwide Technology.
Jim's very clear that this curriculum is incredibly important to Worldwide Technology. He describes having a real sense of responsibility and ownership concerning the curriculum.
We had two guest speakers. One is a friend of the company, very close, Pat Gelsinger, who's the CEO of Intel. And the other one was Admiral McRaven. Both of them incredible leaders bringing different perspectives on leadership. But what I would say for the most part is we don't normally bring in outside speakers because our integrated management leadership curriculum is not about the Book of the Month Club. We have built a curriculum, and a lot of this curriculum, I have spent personally a lot of time with the executive team building this, writing it, creating the foundational pieces around the curriculum, which are basically the values and the behaviors of the company.
In addition to the curriculum, 8 vital principles have also been established at Worldwide Technology.
And the other one is what we call our 8 key business concepts. What drives a high performance organization at the highest level is looking to get optimal performance out of your business strategy, your vision, your financial operations, your long-term planning, all those things around operational execution to be best in class around it. And then equally as important, and if not even more important, is your investment in your people and your culture. And how do you measure and track that? Because it's more difficult to measure and track the development of your people and your culture and really getting everybody on the same page, understanding what good and great behavior really means, both as an individual, an organization, and how that resonates within the organization. And then also how that ties to the business in allowing you to drive behaviors that are foundational in regards to how you act, how you behave, how you interact with your employees, your customers, your partners, your community. So those are very foundational things.
For Worldwide Technology, perpetuating this solid foundation of values helps them bring to bear their physical and digital assets to meet their customers' technology needs. Jim explains how the business of Worldwide Technology has evolved over the years.
I'd say for a long time, you'd go describe what Worldwide does and anybody outside of the business would have no idea. And a lot of what we did, kind of the genesis of the business, was really building back office IT. So it could be data centers and networks, and the evolution of all that over time as it's becoming more sophisticated. So we still have a real significant focus in regards to helping large and medium-sized businesses build out, design, engineer, build out, and deploy their domestic and global networks and domestic and global data centers and cloud strategies, along with cyber, voice, video, collaboration. But what also we did, kind of skating towards the puck, as Wayne Gretzky would always say, we tried to skate towards the puck. Where's the puck going?
This is an important concept for any business. It's about going where the puck is going, not where the puck is right now. Anticipation is key. Figure out where the puck is heading and then make your move in that direction. For Worldwide Technology, where does Jim see the puck moving?
The puck is going into software. It's not abandoning hardware and infrastructure and platforms, but it's going more into this digital transformation. So we really saw that out there. It was a bit of a leap outside of the core of what we're doing. We felt it was complementary and synergistic. So we bought a small boutique. 99.9% of our business has been all organic growth. But we did buy this small software company. And now we've got approximately 800 developers in our development group, along with building out practices around big data with big data scientists and consultants, management consultants, cyber engineers and advisors and consultants in cloud. And then we have an overall digital transformation group. So we will go into your point and help large organizations continue design and build out their global IT infrastructure and make sure it's cyber ready and it's ready to scale, but also working with now their lines of businesses to actually think about their digital strategy and where are they going and how do you actually change the patient experience, the customer experience, the fan experience through mobile applications and social platforms.
Jim offers one such example concerning an app that involved working with St. Jude Hospital. Worldwide Technology's goal was to help create a better experience for stakeholders at the nonprofit.
We worked very closely with St. Jude's Hospital, and we worked with their CIO and their team to design and build a mobile application that enhanced and created a better connected experience for their patients, their doctors, and all of the ancillary support mechanism around them so that when you would have a patient coming in with cancer, a young kid with their family, they could get all the information they knew. They were geofenced when they landed. They would know where to go, what rooms, who are the doctors that have the data that was played into it. And they would create that ongoing experience and done in a way that was kid-friendly and parent-friendly. So we're really focused on those experiences. How do you take technology and where we're looking today to make a new world happen? And that's really our tagline, is bringing that infrastructure along with applications to drive these digital platforms that create different outcomes and experiences for fans, customers, patients, et cetera.
Jim has talked a great deal about the values of Worldwide Technology and even pointed to the company's work with St. Jude as something that really resonated with their team. These company values, alongside the company's success, can be traced to the working relationship between Jim and Dave Stewart. Their partnership has guided their decision-making concerning the values of the organization.
We're different individuals. It's not like we have all the same common interest. The common denominator is we want to do well by all of our employees. And we were both very focused on growing the business, reinvesting in the business, doing it the right way, growing and developing our employees and our culture. So all of those things were very consistent and really never a debate on what's important to us. Dave's view can be different. I would say Dave has been in and out of the business over the years, gone out and done some other things and, you know, has come back in. And because of us being the two owners of the business, it's worked out very well. And I think that's an important thing relative to partnerships, as you both agree on what your role is and what your role isn't. If you have, I would say, the trust in the relationships and the values that you both share, and then you can understand and make sure that you understand the responsibilities and the roles of each one and how that continues to work and evolve. That's an incredibly important piece, because I would say Dave and I working together for 30 plus years as partners and seeing so many different challenging times and situations, it's not common.
There's no doubt that Jim and Dave's dynamic has been very sustainable. Their relationship and leadership decisions have also undoubtedly played a role in how the company thinks about issues pertaining to diversity and inclusion, and even how this thinking has progressed over the years.
If you think about it, obviously, Dave's a black guy and I'm a white guy, and we've always had a good relationship. We want to go and create the best company we can possibly create. As we have evolved and grown up, we've always looked at it, and Dave has been lockstep with me on this. We need to hire the best people we can find, period. As we've evolved, we have looked at it and said, yes, that is still a core focus of ours. But we also want to be even more conscious, especially in today's world, of the importance of diversity, and not only diversity of people, but diversity of thought, diversity of opinions, diversity of perspective. It just makes you better. And so we, over the years, even prior to, I would say, the last couple of years, have been very focused on how do we create the most diverse organization that just makes us better. And it does, it forces us to open our eyes and look at different things differently than out of the lens of just certain individuals. So it's been something that we have been focused on. And it is a challenge, I'll tell you, in the technology space, finding women and diverse people. And this is something that we are focused on, both developing women within our organization into different roles, into leadership roles, and also diverse people of all backgrounds, and really starting things early on, STEM programs with schools, with community organizations, giving back to those organizations, not only financially, but with our time, and creating opportunities when those individuals come out of them to having a path to employment at Worldwide and other companies.
Clearly, Worldwide Technology has achieved great success over the years and made changes as needed. Along the way, the company added two core values, ones that would further define who they want to be to their customers, to themselves, and to each other.
Up until maybe, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, we didn't have humility as one of our core values. It was something that we just felt naturally, but it was something that we really talked about. And we decided to add trust and humility as our two additional values because we felt it was so important. And it was interesting to see the way people originally thought through it. They're like, well, if you're saying we all need to be humble, that means we're not aggressive and we're kind of meek. And I'm like, no. That's not even close to the definition that we're working from. We're going to be as aggressive and ambitious as we've always been, or even more so. But we're going to do it in a very humble and grateful way. And there's no reason that we can't do that.
In an alternative reality to the Worldwide Technology story, Jim might not have trusted his instincts and fired his original boss. Or he might have had the courage to fire his boss, but then, having dealt with such a challenging situation, struggled to trust another teammate. Thankfully, Jim had the guts to make the tough decisions early on and also to believe in Dave Stewart. Together with their team, they have built an amazing company. What is it about Jim that empowered him to make these necessary choices?
I try to communicate to people that mistakes are opportunities If you're not making any mistakes, you're not trying hard enough. You're just not pushing hard, whether in sport or in business. If you're like, oh, well, I haven't made a mistake in 3 years, you're not trying anything. You're talking about taking the comfortable, predictable road, not allowing your, call it mistakes or experiences, use them as a way to learn, but not to scare you from continuing to move forward and try to make the most intelligent decisions that you can. And I would say in that case, and in a lot of cases, try to learn quickly from it. And some of it is you got to have, in some areas around leadership, you got to have some of that gut sense you're making the right call.
Jim's straightforward posture is refreshing. He shared with us the uncertainty that the company faced early on. This experience was an integral piece of the worldwide technology story because it taught the company many valuable lessons. In fact, it seemed to lay the groundwork for the company's values, or at least to help them see these values more clearly in the midst of a difficult experience. Furthermore, overcoming this early challenge helped lay the foundation for a culture of leadership, and more specifically, a culture that is clear about its values and teaches its people how to be great leaders. In the story of worldwide technology, there are a few main takeaways for all of us, regardless of our position or what organization we identify with. A culture of leadership is key. Values matter. A good partner is very helpful. And lastly, trust your gut. Mission is a network of C-level and executive-focused shows and communities. Our studios work with enterprises to create original content and experiences that reach and influence the hardest-to-reach executives in the world. Mission's network of shows includes thousands of episodes that regularly circulate amongst executives at the Fortune 1000 level and beyond. And we're always looking for more partners to help continue to bring this content to life. If you are a world-class enterprise that needs to reach and influence decision-makers in the C-suite, leaders at public institutions, and leaders creating policy, Mission can help. Go to mission.org/about to learn more. You've been listening to Business X Factors, created and produced by our team here at mission.org. Are you enjoying this show? If you are, I know I would be so grateful if you took 2 seconds to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, as this helps ensure that more listeners like you find the show, and it also lets me know how I'm doing. If you enjoyed this specific episode and you want to dive deeper into the topics discussed, be sure to check out the resources section of our show notes, where we've included helpful links, articles, and books, including any stat or story referenced in this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jeremy Bergeron, and I'll catch you next time on Business X Factors.